نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Tonight, inshallah, we'll discuss a beautiful quality to develop. And this is what we term as the quality of ithar. And its opposite, if we may say, is ananiyat. So perhaps we can unpack this ananiyat. Ananiyat comes from this ana. In English, you will translate it as me. Where the person is fixated on, as they say, me, myself, and I. That the whole world is all about myself. As long as I'm comfortable, as long as my stomach is full, as long as, you know, everything is sorted out for myself, as long as if I'm invited for a dawat, the food is enough for me, everything is fine. So this is what we term as a very selfish approach to life. And people who suffer from this ananiyat, eventually it leads to a kind of it leads to what is termed as ujub. But the person is always just focusing on themselves, admiring themselves. And then eventually that, if it's left unchecked, it eventually leads to pride. If you look at Shaitan Iblis, with the statement that he made after he refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, and he was asked that, why are you not, you know, complying to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has instructed you to make sajda. So one of the statements that he made was, ana khayrun min, ana, you see me, I am better than him. So now you see that ana eventually it built up and it led to pride. So a person who suffers from selfishness, you find that naturally people are not attracted to that person, because it's all about himself, it's all about herself. They are not concerned about anyone else. And you find that such a person is not really able to build relationships. Because to build a relationship, it has to be a mutual thing. It has to be a give and take thing. So Islam, the deen of Islam, makes an effort to build within a person this quality of ithar, and you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on encouraging, as we just mentioned in the tafsir, where Allah ta'ala is encouraging that spend from your wealth. We gave you the wealth, but you spend from it. Spend from the wealth which we gave you. And Allah praises the one who spends from his wealth. If we look at the society of Madinatul Munawwara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes and praises what the Sahaba ikram became. What was the condition of Sahaba prior to them going to Madina Sharif? It was ananiyat. It was only about themselves before they were blessed with Islam. That people were usurping the rights of orphans. They were violating the rights of the widows. There was oppression. There was aggression. There was suppression. It was only about the ego and the self. But Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made such an effort on the Sahaba ikram that a time came where they gave preference to others over themselves. Even if it meant sacrificing their own comfort. Even if it meant sacrificing something which they dearly loved. But they were prepared to do it. And there are so many incidents of this nature. There is a verse of the Quran Majeed wherein Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Ansar of Madinatul Munawwara. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Allah Ta'ala describes the Ansar of Medina. Ansar means the helpers. They were known as the Ansar, the helpers. Allah Ta'ala says that these Ansar were such that they loved those who migrated to them. If we may say, the foreigners, they had love for the foreigners. Nowadays we see this xenophobia and all of these things that are taking place. And the foreigners are coming and invading our space. But the Ansar, Rasulullah made such an effort on their hearts that they loved the foreigners who had come from Makkatul Mukarramah. They loved them. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. There was no jealousy over anything that the Muhajireen were given. The Muhajireen also came and they also made an effort, and Allah Ta'ala also opened up doors for them as well. As we see, sometimes the foreigners come to a country and they really work hard and they apply themselves, and then they gain wealth, and then we see all the, you know, the jealousy starts. So here, the Ansar, there was no jealousy in their heart with that which the Muhajireen were blessed with. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They give preference over themselves for these Muhajireen, even if it means that they have to go through poverty or hunger in the process. It is a hadith in Tirmizi Sharif is mentioned, in which a particular Muhajir Sahabi had come down from Makkatul Mukarrama, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had assigned that which Ansari will look after him. And so this Ansari Sahabi went to his wife, or sent a message to his wife. I'm just summarizing the story. He sent a message to his wife that, look, we have got this guest coming, and if we, there's the possibility we don't have enough food. So what you do, switch the lights off, and we will sit and make as if we are eating, but we will make sure that he eats. But it must not be that, you know, we eat and he is deprived of food. And they continued in this way, and they remained hungry, and they made sure that he had eaten. And it was mentioned that upon this verse of the Quran Majid was then revealed, that these Muhajireen or these Ansar are such that they give preference to others over themselves, even if it means they have to endure hunger in the process. And then there is a famous incident also, where one particular Sahabi, within the home, they had prepared a piece of meat. It was prepared, and they took a piece from there, and he said, let's give it to our neighbor. So when the neighbor received this meat, the neighbor said, you know, Alhamdulillah, we have got food in our home. Let's give it to our neighbor. And it is mentioned that this meat continued moving down the street until it went back onto the other side of the street and came back up to the original person who had given that food. This each person gave preference to the next over himself. And then, of course, the story that is the most amazing, and if we may say, it is the absolute height of sacrifice and giving preference to others over themselves in the battle of Yarmouk. There were Sahaba who had been injured in the process, and some of them were lying on the battlefield calling out for water. So there were certain Sahaba who were attending and taking care of these who had been injured. So this Sahabi says that I went to this particular Sahabi who was calling for water. And when I reached him and about to give him the water, and he was wounded, another Sahabi a little few meters away, he was calling out for water. He said, no, 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 go and give him the water. So he said, I raced to the next Sahabi, and when I reached him, another Sahabi a few meters away, he began calling for water. This Sahabi said, no, 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 go give him water. He said, I rushed to that third Sahabi. When I reached him, he had passed away. I then rushed to the second Sahabi. By the time I reached him, he passed away. And I rushed to the first Sahabi. By the time I reached him, he passed away. That each one, they were on the throes of death. Imagine, to be on the throes of death. At that time, the person is like, right, I have to survive. But look at the spirit within themselves, that they were willing to sacrifice even their lives in the process, but to ensure the comfort of the next person. So this indeed is a very, very beautiful quality to develop. And in order to develop this kind of a quality, obviously the person has to make some effort on, if we may say, annihilating the self. You have to annihilate the self. And in order to do that, it's not an easy thing to do, but sometimes it has to be done. An incident is just coming to mind, just to explain how this process of annihilation sometimes takes place. We heard the story from one of our satiza. I haven't found it in the kitabs, but we heard the story. But since it is from our ustad, I'm sure it must be in one of the kitabs. But it is mentioned that there was a certain sheikh, a certain buzrug in a certain town. And he had you know, one or two khalifas, and eventually this sheikh passed away, and his khalifas passed away. But there was one khalifa who was living in a very distant land. So the grandson of this sheikh, he wanted to know about his grandfather. He had heard that his grandfather is a very great saint and a wali, and that desire came in his heart that I too want to become a friend of Allah Ta'ala. I also want to gain this purity and so on. So he began doing some research, and he discovered that a certain khalifa of his grandfather or great-grandfather was in a certain place. So he made arrangements and he put forward a request that, look, I would like to come and meet you. I am the grandson or great-grandson of your sheikh. So this khalifa was very excited that, you know, my sheikh, his grandson is coming. I need to welcome him. So when this person now arrived, it was more towards the colder region. Some say it was in the Russian regions, wherever it may have been. So when he reached there, the sheikh, you know, gave him a wonderful welcome and had prepared a celebration and a welcome for him. The first day went in that way with, you know, lots of ikram and, you know, favors and so on. Second day, third day. On the third day, this person said to the sheikh that, look, actually, I didn't only come here to meet you. I actually came here because I want to get that which you got from my grandfather. So he said, well, look, if you came for that, then things will have to change. Now we are really going to have to work on you. Are you sure you are here for that? So he says, no, I'm here for that. So he said, well, if that's the case, then you're going to have to wear the ordinary clothes that the people wear here. You have to wear, and I'll have to give you some basic chores to do. So he told him that, listen, every day what you will do is, you will go and you will chop the wood, you will collect the wood, and before the Fajr Salah, you will empty it into these, the kind of boilers that they used to have to ensure that the water is warm for the musallis when they come for Fajr Salah. Now imagine, he was a big personality, and now he had to do this menial task. So he continued doing it for a few days, 1 week, 2 weeks. So now this sheikh, he said, I want to test whether there's any improvement in him. So now he called this particular attendant who used to empty the toilets where they had the bucket system. So he said, I want you to go by. And he rested a certain time. You walk past him. Now, you know, this bucket used to really smell, and these people used to walk in a place where they didn't come close to the houses. But this time he said, I want to make sure you walk close. So as he walked close, this person's sleep was disturbed, and he got up from his sleep and he began scolding this person that, why couldn't you find some other place to walk? And why walk in this side here and so on? So this person came and reported back to the sheikh. So the sheikh said, no, there's still more work that needs to be done. Still a lot more work that needs to be done. And he continued giving him work to do. And after a few weeks again, this person came past, and now he told him, that I want you to stand there. This time you stand there. So he stood there, this person woke up, and he just gave a look. You know, they say, if looks could kill, you know. That's why he didn't say anything. So the sheikh said, Alhamdulillah, it seems as if there's some improvement. So he called him, he said, okay, listen, I'm changing your task. I want you, we've got these dogs that we use to pull the skis on the snow. But we have to keep them trained, so you will take them for a walk every day into the forest, into the jungle. But whatever you do, you don't let go of this leash. So many of these dogs, you don't let go of the leash. So this person, he took the dogs and he, you know, diligently every day. One particular day, these dogs saw another dog and they became agitated and they started going in that direction. He was pulling back. And then he remembered the words of his sheikh that, you know, whatever you do, do not let go of the leash. So he tied the leash around him. And in the process, these dogs began to pull him. He fell on his face and they started pulling him through the snow, and he started getting injured in the process. The sheikh saw a vision where his sheikh is saying to him, that did I put you through so much of hardship that you bring my grandchild to so much of hardship? So immediately he realized there's something wrong. Searched for him, they brought him back, realized that he needed some medical attention. They saw to him everything. He started recovering. But now the sheikh was curious to know, what is his state? So this time he called that person who used to carry the buckets. He said, this time you go, and you make like you slipped, and you pour the whole thing on him. And now you see what happens. And come and report back. So he did that. And when he did that, this person, instead of getting angry, instead of shouting him, he stood up and said, you know, it's all my fault. It's all my fault. You just stand one side. And he began now cleaning it up himself. So the Sheikh now said, Alhamdulillah, now this person has really annihilated himself. Completely annihilated himself. And this was the effort that the mashayikh made, that to destroy that ana within the person. Completely destroy the ana. You know, so it's not an easy thing. It takes a long time. It's not something where you can go and do a course, you know, and you get a certificate that you have annihilated yourself. It requires a lot of hard work. Sometimes the person has to get a little bit of scolding. Sometimes, you know, the person has to go through some hardships, and you have to control yourself. But when the person annihilates himself, when the person makes fana, Allah Ta'ala gives baqa. When the person makes fana of himself, Allah Ta'ala then gives that person a legacy, that people begin benefiting from that person for years to come thereafter. And if you study the people who really made fana of themselves, were the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Bilal radiallahu anhu, how he annihilated himself. He said, Ahad, Ahad. That till today, we are remembering people like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, and so many Sahaba of that nature. Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu anhu made fana of himself. Until today, we say radiallahu anhu. May Allah have mercy on him. In the same way, you will find people who completely annihilated themselves. Allah Ta'ala gives that person baqa. So, there are certain things, that practical things we could do. Obviously, the best is to go in the company of the Sheikh, and the Sheikh will do a, you know, the open heart surgery, if we may say. The Sheikh will do an open heart surgery, and he will, you know, work on the person. Our late Maulana Sahib Rahmatullahi. Now, because we were the deputy imam there in the masjid, so Maulana, sometimes there were certain musallis, Maulana would tell us certain things. So sometimes these musallis would come and say, Maulana, we must make our islah. Make our islah. So Maulana would tell me sometimes also that, you see this one, I shouted him. You see, now for the next week he won't come to the masjid. Oh, 1 week the person doesn't come to the masjid. But Maulana was informing us also, because we're the imam, so we all know how to work with the person. But this is the thing, that people cannot take it now when there's a little bit of scolding, that why did you do this here? But I told you not to do that. And I was, who does he mean? He doesn't know, I'm a qualified person, I'm a big person, why is he scolding me? So that ana is still, it's still kicking, it's still alive within the person. So it requires lots of effort, make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ja'al alni fi ayni saghira wa fi ayuni nasi kabira. Allah, make me small in my eyes. I must be insignificant in my own eyes. But Allah, make me great in the eye of people. So it doesn't mean we must become, you know, disrespected in the eye of people. That is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But don't ever think great of yourself. Don't think great. We heard in the tonight's tarawih, فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't regard yourself as very, very pious and very great. So think of yourself as insignificant. And for that, sometimes we have to make khidmat for others. Learn to make khidmat for people. Annihilate yourself for others. Always be the one to always be making khidmat. You're having a family gathering. Nothing. Even though you are the uncle, don't feel it below your dignity to serve your nephews. To, you know, put the food on the table, to make khidmat for others. In the same way, learn to, we spoke about charity. Similarly, just reflect over the fact that everything that you have is temporary. It is all temporary. So what is the need now to hold on to these things, and you are not willing to separate, and you are not willing to let go? The samosa came on the table. Tell yourself, by whatever is written for me, if that samosa is written for me, I'll get it. But let me rather offer it to this person here. Then if it's meant for me, it'll come. If it's not meant, it'll never come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this beautiful quality of ithar, keeping the company of the pious. Obviously, that these qualities will automatically come into the heart. They say, apna dil kisi jalte huye dil ke qareeb kar de, ye aag lagti nahi, lagai jati. That bring your heart close to the heart that is flaming. So when you will bring your candle closer to a candle that has got a flame, what will happen? That fire will automatically come on. So when you spend time in the company of people of qualities, of good qualities, inshallah these qualities will rub off onto you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka Allahumma.